Amen. He can take wrongs and make them right. He can take evil and make it good. Amen. He can take any situation and bring good out of it. Amen. What a great God we serve. Amen. There's nobody like Jesus. Amen. Let me go tonight to the book of Genesis, to the 7th chapter, verse number 16. And they that went in male and female flesh, as God had commanded him. And the Lord shut him in. Everybody say, and the Lord shut him in. Glory. And the Lord shut him in. Amen. When the Lord shut him in, he shut a lot of other stuff out. Amen. I'm telling you tonight, it's a good thing when the Lord shuts you in. Amen. Hallelujah. The Bible said, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. There's a parallel that Jesus said, when you see things like it was in Noah's time, know that the coming of the Lord is nigh. Amen. So we want to look at that here tonight. Amen. The Lord bless you. You may be seated. Thank you for being here tonight. Amen. Don't worry about the slight crowd. We got folks all over the country tonight. Amen. But that's okay. You're here. Most importantly, Jesus is here. And most of them are in a good place where they can get a blessing. Amen. Some of them already been blessed. You can get blessed at the hospital when you have good news. Amen. So we're thankful tonight. Amen. The Lord's good. So looking in this story tonight, in the word of the Lord, the Bible describes the times of Noah. And it was a time when the earth had considerably increased. You know, people were living 800-900 years. That's quite a lifetime, isn't it? Amen. I've heard all kinds of reasons about why people lived that long. My favorite is simply that when God made man, he made him so perfectly. He made him for eternity. And it took a long time for just the old earth to wear him down. God just made people so well. He don't make no junk. Amen. There is a theory, and it makes sense to me. Nobody can prove it. It's not doctrine. You don't have to believe it. It's up to you. But it makes sense to me that in the original creation, that God put a canopy of water around the earth. And that canopy of water kept out the ultraviolet rays, which is one of the things that leads to aging. One of the reasons we get old is because of the ultraviolet rays that are in the air. And so if God had placed that in the atmosphere, he talks about the waters above the earth, separated from the waters below the earth. I kind of feel like that he actually put just a giant bubble around the earth. And that made the temperatures basically the same around the earth. Scientists have discovered in the poles that there at one time they were grassy and green like everywhere else. Now they're ice caps. So at some time in the past, there was grass that grew everywhere, doesn't grow now. It would cause people to live longer. It would cause things to grow like house. If you've ever seen vegetables that are raised in the perfect conditions, they're incredible. It made things grow larger, better. And so that just makes sense to me for that reason, but it also makes sense for another reason. When God got ready to flood the earth, that water came from somewhere. Amen. And so I just really feel like that there is some validity to that theory, and it's just, you take it for what it's worth. Whether you like it, whether you don't, that's up to you and the good Lord. Amen. But it just makes sense to me. But the Bible says that in the days of Noah, that the earth was filled with people. And then it talks about a little confusing verse number 2, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. Now, commentators say, and theologians have said, that this is when angels left their first estate, as Jude talks about. Peter talks about some angels that are in a special prison because they left the first estate. It appears that some angels inhabited human bodies, and with human bodies conceived children, and were took to themselves women. And so that was God brought a severe judgment upon them and put them in a very special place and brought upon them a special judgment. You see, God intends, He made us to be a certain people. He made us to be as we are. And He intends us to keep that state. Man fell tragically from what God created us to be. And angels stepped out of their role, and God brought a severe judgment upon them. And God knows how to do that. That's why the Bible said, "Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I will repay." That's why you don't have to spend your time trying to figure out how to get even with somebody. God already knows how. You don't have to try to figure out how to judge someone, because God's going to bring His own judgment. God's going to bring His own recompense. And so we don't have to waste our time and our energy and our goodness, amen, and our peace of mind trying to figure all that out. But we do sometimes anyway, don't we? Anybody ever wanted to help God out when it came to judging? Except when it came to you? Amen. Let me just say, some of us try to help God out even in judging. We're not very good at it. Amen. There's some of us that hang on to things we should have let go a long time ago because God let go. We need to put some things in the past that God put in the past. We need to forget about some things that God forgot about, and don't hold on to it. Don't beat yourself up over it. Amen. God's a whole lot better at judging than you are. When He brings judgment, He did that at Calvary, and He said, "Now, you're free." Hallelujah. Amen. Let it go. Get over it. Amen. And go on and be blessed and do well. That is God's will. Amen. God said that He was going to bring a judgment upon the earth. He said, "My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh. Yet his day shall be 120. From the time that God began to deal with Noah, and Noah found grace, till the time that the flood came was 120 years. And then God brought judgment upon the earth. Amen. And the scripture talks about giants in the earth. Now, I'm not sure if they were men of great stature. The word means fallen ones. People that had the power to come down on others. Amen. Whether they were men of great stature physically, or whether they were people of, that the Bible talks about, mighty men and men of renown. And they were special people. People had respect for, whether they wanted to or not. Amen. There's some people, you know, you have to obey whether you want to do it or not. Amen. It's like the little boy's mama made him sit in the corner, and she said, "Timmy, are you still sitting down?" He said, "Yes, ma'am, on the outside, but I'm standing up on the inside." Amen. Some of us are like that. We may have to sit down on the outside, but we're standing up on the inside. Amen. And so they were men of renown. The Bible said that God saw that wickedness was great in the earth. great in the earth. And then it describes, it said that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil. Did you notice that? Only evil continued. Now that's a bad situation, isn't it? There was no purity of thought. People only entertain evil. I really feel like we're not far from that today in a lot of situations. Amen. The kind of filth that belches out of Hollywood and other places, people have to dwell on some pretty awful stuff. Their mind has to be awfully depraved to even think of things that they think of. They have to entertain some pretty rotten stuff just to get that low. And so just to see what we're looking at today and some of the things people do to one another. And the kind of language people use, it's tragic. Amen. It's sad when people just treat one another the way they treat one another and do things that are beyond almost comprehension. Some of the crimes that are committed and some of the things that people are doing, you wonder how at that place. The Bible said that wickedness was great in the earth. Every imagination, and we accept this, and this bears it all out. Every sin is conceived as a thought. That's why you need to control your thoughts. Sometimes we use this little statement, little excuse. We say, oh, I said that without thinking. I did that without thinking. But you really can't. It starts as a thought. Every word starts as a thought. We just need to build a good filter. If you'll learn to speak more slowly and think more thoroughly before you speak, you'll make a whole lot less blunders. Hello? You'll eat a lot less crow. Amen. You'll offend people a lot less with your words. If you'll just learn to slow down and get a handle on it before you speak. Amen. I think it was Brother Holly that said that I am master of every unspoken word, but I become servant to the words that I have spoken. Once it's out of your mouth, it's identified with you. And you can't take it back. You can apologize, but that doesn't unring the bell. It doesn't take back the wound and the hurt that was caused and the pain that come forth because of an ill-spoken word. A word spoken in anger, rashness. God help us to really be careful and get control of our thoughts because that's where sin comes from. Amen. You'll stop and think and let the Holy Ghost help you. Amen. But this is people that are living unfiltered lives. They don't stop to weigh their thoughts or their actions. They just live with an open, everybody talks about an open mind as if that's a good thing. As if that's a good thing. Well, in one sense it is, one sense it's not. Amen. Some people are so open-minded, I think their brain fell out. They just got a little too open. Amen. They don't think anymore. So you got to be careful. You got to control your thoughts. And the Bible said the thoughts, imagine the thoughts of his heart were only evil continually. But you know what? When you have the Holy Ghost, amen, God puts good thoughts in your head and in your heart. Thoughts of peace, thoughts of righteousness, thoughts of purity. Yes, other thoughts will come as fiery darts, but you know where their origin is and you know they're not of God. Anybody know when a thought's not of God? Amen. You know when it's not. Amen. That's a time to deal with it. Amen. Don't just be open. Now, the fact of the matter is, before we were saved, we didn't have that control. Amen. But thank God, that's the power of the Holy Ghost. If the Bible says the renewing of your mind, you get a new mind. The Bible says we have, everybody say we have, the mind of Christ. Yes, we do. We have that. You can think right thoughts. And when you think right thoughts, you will live the right way. So the Bible tells us that man's thoughts were only evil continually. And it got so bad that God himself repented, regretted that he had even made man. And the Bible said God said, I will destroy man. I will destroy man. Now, if you don't think God can do that, you're very sadly mistaken. Amen. If you have cancer in your body, we consider it the right thing to do to go in and cut it out. If you have gangrene in a wound, it the right thing to do to cut it out. You have a limb that is so afflicted that it cannot be saved, we consider it a life-saving measure to remove it and cut it off. Those are extremes. Yes, they are. And God doesn't deal with this situation till it gets extreme. But if it gets bad enough, God will cut it off. In order to save the rest of the body, God will cut it off. Now, this was a severe severing. I've heard people say the majority's always right. Not in this case. Not in this case. There were only 8 people that God found worth saving. Isn't that amazing? I don't know what the population was at this time, but whatever it was, how many thousands or tens of thousands or hundreds of thousands or millions, I don't know. But I know that God saw 8 people. As a matter of fact, he, for the sake of one, saved an entire family. I don't know about the condition of the others, but I know this. The Bible said, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Praise God. We get our judgment confused with God's judgment, and we think God ought to judge like we do. And we see the fact that the church doesn't seem to be very large on the earth, but there were only 8 saved that time. So do you think God won't bring judgment just because there's not very many folks that have responded to the gospel? Do you think that even in a local church, if there's not very many truly faithful people serving God, that God won't select that few out of that congregation? It seems to me that's what this indicates to me. That righteousness means a lot to God. Amen. And he found a man that was righteous in a world of unrighteousness, and God said, I'm going to save that man. And then God gave him an agency or a way to be saved. But it included some effort on his part. Now we got to little doctrine floating around today that said you're saved by grace. Huh? And that you can't be saved by works. Well, if you don't do a little bit of working, you're not going to be saved. Amen. I've heard people say baptism is works. No, it's not. It's obedience. Amen. Nothing God asks us to do, that the water's not going to save us. none of the things that we do are going to save us, but obedience to what God commanded will save us. So God simply gave Noah a plan. He told him what to do. And he gave him a promise that if he would do it, he would be saved. It was an odd plan. God said, Noah, I want you to build an ark. Amen. An ark is simply a large box. Now, we call it a boat because that's what we know, but it really was just a big, big box. I don't know, gopher wood, whatever that is. Maybe it's when he laid one, he went for another one, and he said, give me another. It was a gopher, right? They kept going for more, gopher wood. They're always going for more. I don't know if that's what it was or not. Maybe that was it. They surmised that it may have been cypress or it could have been cedar. That doesn't really matter. But they just took that and they fashioned it the way God told them to make it. Now, people today said, oh, they couldn't build a boat that big. Of course they could. And they did. And they did. He had 120 years to build it. That's plenty of time. You can build a lot in 120 years, folks. You can build a pretty big box. And all he asked him to do was to build it. And you have to understand what a cubit, we don't really know what a cubit is exactly. We have ideas. One cubit is 18 inches. Others have discovered another cubit they used that was 24 inches. Another man discovered a cubit that was used in Egypt that was almost 22 inches. So then a cubit must be somewhere between 18 and 24 inches. I don't know exactly how long it is. Somebody said it's from the king's nose to the tip of his fingers. I guess that would depend on his nose and how long his arms are. But that was one cubit. Another cubit was from the end of the middle finger to the elbow. So again, that would depend on how big your hands are, how long your arms are. So I don't know exactly what a cubit was. But I do know that it was a unit that they used to measure somewhere between 18 and 24 inches. And using the least measurement of 18 inches, the ark was at least 450 feet long. It was at least 75 feet wide, and it was at least 45 feet tall. And the dimensions that were given would give it stability. It wouldn't turn over. No matter how rocky the waves may have gotten, it wouldn't turn over because of the way God said to build the ark. And it had great stability. And it would have had, even at the smallest dimensions, it would have had a 1.4 million cubic feet of cargo space. It had three stories. Each story was about 15 feet tall. So it was a big building. Somebody said today there's about 22,000 species, perhaps, on the earth. So they allowed for extinction and all those things. Come up with perhaps as much as 72,000 species of critters. If you take the size of all animals, and I'm not real sure that God sent the biggest ones, you know, the ark. You know, they're all smaller animals. We call them babies. I'm not real sure God, you know, what sent for Dino and you know, the biggest ones and brought them on. He might have just went ahead and chose a little lizard or a horned toad. Amen. And they're not real big. So I don't know how he did it, but I know that there was, even when you consider all the species that are on the earth and throw in double the number for those that might have been extinct, we don't even know that. But if you did that, there's still, that would only take up half of the capacity of the ark. So there was still enough room for lots of food. And, so they had enough room for the whole food for a whole year. And that's how long they were on the ark. So this is a very doable scenario. There are people that critics that have said it couldn't happen. Of course it could. And the interesting thing is that in every culture, ancient cultures, all have a story of a big flood and a big boat. They don't know, they don't have a Bible. They don't know Jesus Christ. But somewhere passed down orally through the centuries is a story of a big flood and a big boat. Amen. And so I believe God did exactly what he said. He told Noah to build the ark. Noah built the ark just like God said. 120 years in the building. 120 years of preaching. That ark itself was a silent witness, wasn't it? Related the story of that young little boy, and I was under conviction. I was old enough to know that I needed to repent and give my heart to the Lord, but I hadn't done that yet. And I remember thinking about this story of Noah and how stupid those people must have been. So that was the dumbest thing. They saw that ark being built out there. They knew that God was going to send the flood because Noah told them it was. They wouldn't get in. That must have been a stupid bunch of people. And the Lord said, what about you? He said, you go to church and you hear the preacher talk about the coming of the Lord and the judgment that's coming, and it's an ark that's being built and you're not in. And I got the message. Amen. And I got in. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. By the grace of God, we'll stay in. Amen. Hallelujah. And so Noah built that ark as a great witness, a great testimony. Amen. And I look at this in verse number 1, chapter number 7. What a beautiful statement. And the Lord said unto Noah, come thou and all thy house into the ark. For thee I have seen righteousness before me in this generation. Amen. The Lord said, and I want you to notice the word. He said, come. He didn't say go. There's a lot of difference. Go indicates that he's just going. But when he said come, that indicates the Lord was already in there. Amen. And then the Lord said, come unto me. Hallelujah. Amen. And he said that the Spirit and the bride say to this lost generation, come. Come. The reason he says that is because he's with us. And he's already here. Amen. And he's waiting. Praise God. On the inside. So the animals began to come in. I've always tried to imagine that. Wouldn't that have been amazing? You talk about a parade. That would have been an amazing parade. Now, I've always thought it would be nice to have a zoo where you could just sit down and the animals would all come around you. You just sit there, watch them come by. And never saw one like that, but that'd be nice. But anybody that was watching that day, don't you think that would have been something? When people saw animals they'd never seen before, and all of a sudden they just, and there's some, the clean animals, that but there'd be seven of them. Seven males and seven females. Invariably, every time. Never vary. Same number. Unclean animals that come in by twos every time that see that, and they just, wow, amazing. And to stand there and watch, I have a real imaginative, bold imagination, but I can just see those animals. I don't know that Noah even had the load then. I think the Spirit of the Lord was driving. Heaven, I think they just found their place as God directed. Noah just kind of standing there scratching his head. Amen. Grinning from ear to ear. I told you so. Amen. I told you this was going to happen. But can you believe people saw that after hearing the preaching and still it didn't move? They were watching a miracle take place before their eyes and it didn't. Then when God told Noah to get on the boat and he said, come, and he got on, God left the door open for 7 days. Everybody was in. The animals were in. Why did God leave the door open for 7 days? I, can only think of one word: grace. Grace. It shows us two things. It shows us the extreme mercy of God, and it shows us the extreme sinfulness of man. That man had gone so far that even after witnessing such a miracle as they saw, something that a man had preached for 120 years, and they watched it take place with their own eyes, and then somehow they didn't heed his word to come on and get aboard. Amen. And then the Bible says, and it's kind of a strong statement in one way, but it's a statement that separates them. Verse 16 we read, it said, as God had commanded him, and the Lord shut him in. When it was time to shut the door, Noah didn't shut the door. God shut the door. And when God shut the door, it was a separation. It separated the saved and the unsaved, the obedient and the disobedient. Amen. God shut the door. There comes a time when God makes the difference. God draws the line. God shuts the door. And when God shut the door, then the waters began to rise. I got a feeling it didn't take long for people to believe me. But tragically, it was too late. When they literally watched the ground break open and great floods of water just began to shoot up out of the ground. And that canopy that I talked about that I believe was there, that is no longer there. But the canopy that I believe God had put above the earth, all of a sudden it ruptured. And it's as if a deluge of water fell out of the heavens down to the earth. That had never happened before in all time. And water just came down in great sheets upon the earth. And the springs were springing up like they'd never done before. And the waters began to rise so quickly, so fast. Amen. And people soon found themselves swept off of their feet. Those that had ran to the high places and climbed up in trees were swept away of the flood. I've always wondered if we find the ark, and I know that there have been several Noah's arks that have been found. I'll just give you a word of, well, maybe opinion. I don't get too excited whether they find it or whether they don't. It would be nice, but it makes no difference. Whether they ever find it or whether they don't, it's not going to affect my faith. Amen. The Shroud of Turin. Everybody got excited about the Shroud of Turin. The Shroud of Jesus Christ. Maybe so, maybe not. Makes no difference. Really don't care. My faith is not in some scientific proof. Amen. I just believe it because the Bible said it. Amen. I'm a little like the little boy whenever the scientist said, son, don't you know that a whale can't swallow anything larger than an orange? How in the world could a whale have swallowed Jonah? The little boy said, I don't know and I don't care. He said, the Bible said a tadpole swallowed him. I believe it. But the Bible never did say a whale anyway, did it? It just simply said God prepared. Maybe gave him a tonsillectomy. I don't know. Maybe he just opened up a big opening. I don't know how he did it, but he did it. And I really don't care beyond that. Amen. He had to have a pretty good living room. Been there for 3 days. Amen. Whatever it did, I don't know. I don't care. So whether we ever find Noah's Ark or not makes no difference to me. But I wonder if we ever find it, if we'll find some broken fingernails wedged into the wood of people doing their very best to cling to that thing as it was in those waters until they became so weak. Amen. It's going to be a sad thing, folks. Judgment comes quickly when it comes. God is so, so merciful. But when judgment comes, it comes quickly and it comes completely. I've heard people say that Hurricane Katrina was the wrath of God. I don't believe that. God's wrath's complete. When he gets angry, it gets a lot worse than Katrina. The anger of God is finally revealed and the wrath of God is poured out. It's going to be like nothing the world's ever seen. And there won't be any question about what is the wrath of God. There won't be any question. The Bible said that God's going to laugh when the calamity comes. You can imagine anything worse than the God that has called and wooed and convicted drawn and loved and lingered for so long, finally reaches a place where all he does when people are screaming and crying and calling for mercy, and all God does is laugh. It takes a lot to get to that place. It takes a lot. But the Bible proves that we can get there. They did one time before. God said judgment. And I think we're almost there again. Very close. And I think he's going to send the judgment again. We're living in a time when it's amazing how evil people have become. And how they call wrong right and right wrong. And can excuse any kind of evil. Justified, no matter how evil and no matter how unnatural it is. Those are just the days we're living in, folks. Amen. But the Bible says that God shut Noah in. Hallelujah. And no matter what was going on the outside, it did not affect what was going on the inside. On the outside was every kind of judgment and destruction. But on the inside was peace and safety. On the outside was sure destruction. On the inside was safety. Amen. I'm glad I'm in the ark tonight. Hey, let me tell you something. You stay with the church. Regardless of what happens, you stick with this old ship of Zion. Amen. You stick with this old ship of Zion. Because everything else is going to be destroyed. But this is going to stay. Amen. Don't put your faith in the banking system. Don't put your faith in Uncle Sam. Don't put your faith in anything else. Put your faith in Jesus Christ. Hang on. Amen. Stick with it. No matter how tough, no matter how difficult, you stay with it. Let God shut you in. And when God shuts you in, you stay there. You stay there. Amen. And everything else is going to be all right. Amen. I promise, if you'll just let God shut you in, it's going to be okay. Amen. It's going to be okay. Amen. You know, this world has seen tough times before. It makes me a little nervous when I hear people talk about how tough things are, because they're not that tough yet. When I hear people talk about how hard it is, it's not really hard yet. Amen. It's going to get worse than this. Amen. And we just need to make up our mind, no matter how tough it gets, that we're going to make it. Amen. Praise God. Makes me a little bit nervous whenever, you know, if things are not just right, you can't come to church. And it's too hot. I can't go to church if it's too hot. I can't go to church if it's too cold. Well, you can go to hell. It's plenty hot. Amen. Now, folks, we need to start getting our minds set for some. Hello? I said, we need to start getting ourselves prepared for some difficult things. There's worse things in your air conditioner. More than 90% of the world's never even known what one is. And they do just fine. And you can too. Amen. We need to start getting our mindset for some things. Amen. We've allowed ourselves, and I think the church as well, we've allowed ourselves to get kind of lulled into some things. We just start getting tough in our thinking. Amen. Hello? We need to start toughening up in our thinking. Amen. I've known folks to say, well, you know, that's I can only do a certain kind of work and that's all I can do. Oh, you can do more than that. I have to have a certain amount of money to live on. Oh, no, you don't. We need to start getting our minds ready for some things, folks. Amen. You may have money in the bank today and that whole bank may be gone tomorrow. I'm telling you what's going to happen. It's going to happen pretty soon. They're going to take all of that. And they're going to say, now you need to take a little mark. And if you have that little mark, you won't need any money. But if you don't take that mark, money's not going to do you any good. Don't matter how many coffee cans you got stored around the yard. It's going to be worthless. How much cold cash you got in the refrigerator or the freezer? It's not going to do you any good. There's coming a time, folks, when we're going to have to get our minds ready, get our hearts prepared. Amen. Because that day is coming. But you know what the Bible said? He said, my grace is sufficient for me. Hallelujah. My grace is sufficient. Amen. We're going to have to make up our minds about some of these things. God shut it in. And God shut it in. God's going to shut us in here, folks. Amen. And it's going to be all right as long as you stay in. Don't you dare get out now. This is not the time to be wandering around. This is not the time to be playing at the end. This is the time to make sure that you're in and let God shut you. Amen. This is the time. Praise God, because there's a judgment that's coming. And it's going to be very severe. Amen. And it's going to be very restrictive.